WGN Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 24 degrees. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank member, FDIC Equal Housing Lender. We look for cloudy skies today at a high of 35. And we do want to remind you some schools have changed their plans from late starts to cancellations within the past 15 minutes. Recently canceled schools include Corning, Villisca, and Bedford. Also, Mount Air had closed as well this morning. Again, the latest cancellations, Corning, Villisca, Mount Air, and Bedford. Those schools that were running late this morning have decided to cancel classes for today. The rest of the list can be found at KJAN.com under the Community Hub side of the page. Go down to cancellations and click on that tab for the latest, and we will update that throughout the morning as well for other weather-related announcements. In the news this morning, speaking of schools, a man who had served for nearly 2 years as the middle school principal in Atlantic has tendered his resignation, effective at the end of the school year. The Board of Education on Monday night accepted the resignation of Cam Smith during their work session in Atlantic. Superintendent Dr. Mike Amstein told KJAN News he received Smith's resignation last Friday. And while he's sad to see him go, he thinks Smith has done an exemplary job as the middle school principal in Atlantic.
He came in and kind of took the bull by the horns. He's certainly very visible to students within the building, students and faculty, and I thought brought some very good ideas to take a look at the middle school and to address several issues that were present. So, he's gonna leave some big shoes to fill.
He points to the implementation of the PBIS, or Positive Behavior Intervention Support Program, which was introduced over the past year as an example of Smith's accomplishments at the school. PBIS is a comprehensive plan that includes a range of intervention strategies designed to prevent the problem behavior of a child while teaching socially appropriate alternative behaviors.
I think that it would behoove the new person to go ahead and try to continue that and build on that.
His successor will also have a challenge in staying within the budget and to continue to strive and improve student achievement. Cam Smith is leaving Atlantic for a middle school principal's position at MOC Floyd Valley, which puts him closer to his family, and Amstein says it's really hard to fault someone for wanting to do that. Smith's last day with the Atlantic School District will be on June the 30th.
Cam certainly has pointed the school in a positive direction, and I think that his successor will probably try to pick his brain as much as possible before he leaves to go to MOC Floyd Valley at the end of the contract year.
Cam Smith was hired by the Atlantic School District in April of 2011. He previously was employed by the Garner-Hayfield School District, where he had served as the K through 8th grade principal and athletic director. Smith had succeeded AMS principal Todd Rocker, who retired from the district. News time is 8:03.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Despite uncertainties over how much school districts in Iowa will receive from the legislature with regard to allowable growth, the Atlantic School Board Monday night continued their discussion on how their budget is shaping up. Superintendent Dr. Mike Amstein said the board is proceeding as though there will be 0% allowable growth, but he's still hoping for around 2 to 3%.
Anytime that you have to deal with that, you always have to set up the budget in the worst case scenario and hope for better times. And hopefully we will see that. Right now, the House is past 2% allowable growth, while the Senate has done 4%. So hopefully we'll find a happy medium and we'll get a set allowable growth pretty soon. So that'll help us with our budget process.
The Iowa legislature has been setting aside the statewide allowable growth rate since 1993. Before, that rate was automatically determined by a formula which examined enrollment figures, state revenue growth, inflation, and economic indicators. Monies received typically are used to fund teacher salaries and benefits.
We would settle for the Senate version, or just anywhere. It's been kind of lean times the last couple of years for the schools across Iowa. with either 0% allowable growth or 2%. And, you know, that's what school districts use to, you know, address the cost of doing business increases each year.
The Atlantic School Board also discussed Monday night possible capital improvement projects to expand the instructional space at each of the district's facilities. Included in the discussion was the possibility of adding a new cafeteria and additional classrooms at the Washington School, a new cafeteria and commons area in the middle school and an area between the gym and auditorium, 7 new classrooms at the high school, and 11 more classrooms at Schuller Elementary. Amstein cited an increased enrollment of students in the lower grades and the district's shrinking capacity to house all those students as they move through the grades as the reason why expansion projects are being discussed. No action was taken during the work session, however, with regard to the budget or the possible capital improvement projects. In other area news, the Cass County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest on Monday of Vern Riley Southwick, Jr. Officials said the man, who was wanted on a warrant for a failure to appear, turned himself in to authorities. Southwick was booked into the Cass County Jail, where he was released later that same day on $1,000 cash bond. Authorities in Montgomery County report the arrest Tuesday evening of a Red Oak man. 31-year-old Keenan Russell Elwood was arrested at around 6:50 p.m. on a valid Montgomery County warrant for contempt of court for child support. Elwood was brought to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held at a $1,000 cash bond. Police in Red Oak say they're investigating an incident of attempted burglary and theft, which was reported early Tuesday morning. Officials say Regina Schuster of Red Oak informed authorities that as she was leaving for work, she noticed someone had been in her car. Schuster said the center console in the vehicle was up and items had been moved around inside the vehicle. 2 strands of electrical wire valued at around $150 were reported missing. It was unclear at the time of the report if any other items were missing either from her car or from Schuster's garage. No injuries were reported following a 2-vehicle collision late Tuesday morning in Red Oak. According to the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, Red Oak PD were dispatched to the intersection of North 2nd Street and East Maple Street in Montgomery County. And upon arrival, officers discovered an SUV driven by 26-year-old Juan Eugenio Rodriguez Lopez of Red Oak that had been traveling westbound on Maple Street and was crossing the intersection when that vehicle was struck by a car driven by 42-year-old John Jimmy Heron of Red Oak. There were no citations issued. The Page County Sheriff's Office said Tuesday that 2 people were arrested late last week on separate charges. On Saturday, 37-year-old Michael Delane Resch of Essex was arrested for OWI first offense following a traffic stop at around 1 a.m. near the intersection of 150th Street and C Avenue. Resch posted a $1,000 bond and was subsequently released from custody. He's scheduled to appear in court on March 19th. And last Friday, 22-year-old Nathan Allen DeShong of Shenandoah was arrested at around 10 p.m. on a Page County warrant for harassment by personal contact. DeShong was held without bond in the Page County Jail until being seen by a magistrate. He was later released with orders to have no further contact with his alleged victim. He's scheduled to appear in court on March 28th. Page County Sheriff's Office reported Tuesday that an accident that occurred last week resulted in one person being sent to the hospital in Shenandoah. 33-year-old Amy Valquire Argumanez of Shenandoah suffered non-incapacitating injuries when the minivan she was driving went out of control on a gravel road at around 12:15 a.m. Wednesday, February 20th. The van entered the north ditch of 140th Street, slid sideways, and hit a small embankment before rolling over. Valquire Argumanez was not wearing her seatbelt and was partially ejected through the windshield. She was brought to the hospital by private vehicle. Officials say the 1999 Mercury Villager van sustained about $2,800 damage and was considered a total loss. Valquire Argumanez was cited by authorities for failure to maintain control and failure to wear a seatbelt. The 2013 Register's annual Great Bicycle Ride Across Iowa, or RAGBRAI, is slated to begin in Council Bluffs this summer, and the organizing committee has met and decided on their local theme, which is Sizzle in Your Seat, a wild ride for your hide. And as you might expect, the Bluffs themes this year will feature a pig riding a bicycle. Josie Beyer, Director of Convention and Sports Sales for the Council Bluffs Convention and Visitors Bureau, said they wanted something fun and unique to celebrate 2013. The local committee approved a logo concept along with a theme and a preliminary T-shirt design to be unveiled soon. Plans are also being developed for a Council Bluffs RAGBRAI website and Facebook page, which will feature the theme, the show, the T-shirt design, and provide other pertinent information for residents and RAGBRAI enthusiasts alike. Council Bluffs will welcome RAGBRAI riders, their support personnel, fans, and friends July 20th for one large get-together before the ride across Iowa begins the following morning on July the 21st. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, air traffic controllers say automatic spending cuts, which are set for Friday, could force some of the nation's busiest airports to close runways, causing widespread flight delays and cancellations. National Air Traffic Controllers Association predicts that if air traffic controllers go on furlough, which would happen in April, some runways would have to close. They say Atlanta's Hartsfield International Airport, Chicago's O'Hare, and Houston's Intercontinental would likely be affected. Chuck Hagel takes charge of the Defense Department today. Hagel was sworn in as Defense Secretary this morning. Senators confirmed their former colleague. That was confirmed yesterday by a 58-41 vote. Many Republicans have been critical of Hagel's record on Israel, Iran, defense spending, and nuclear weapons. There's mixed data out today on factory orders. The Commerce Department said orders for U.S. factories for core capital goods jumped 6.3% last month, the most in more than a year. Core capital goods include machinery, equipment, and software, and are seen as a sign of business investment plans. However, a sharp drop in demand for commercial aircraft caused overall durable goods orders to drop 5.2%, and that's the steepest since August. News time is 8:11.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In the funeral announcements, Michael Schechinger, age 74, of Westphalia, died Saturday. A massive Christian burial service for Michael Schechinger will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Norman Cox, age 87, of Grimes and formerly of Panora, died Sunday. Funeral services for Norman Cox will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Faith Bible Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Ross Armentrout, age 94, of Red Oak and formerly of Griswold, died Sunday at the Montgomery County Hospital. Funeral services for Ross Armentrout will be on Thursday at 1:30 at the Griswold United Methodist Church. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold is in charge of the arrangements. Eileen Haynes, age 91, of Oakland, died Thursday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Eileen Haynes will be this Friday at 10:30 at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reagan Veith Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Craig Cullen, age 53, of Greenfield, died Wednesday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines last Wednesday. A gathering of remembrance for Craig Cullen will be held this Friday from 4 until 8 p.m. at the 4-H building on the Adair County Fairgrounds in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Norman Henriksen, age 86, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Norman Henriksen will be this Saturday at 11 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. And Denise Drager Moon, age 56, of Mora, New Mexico, died February 19th. There are no services planned for Denise Moon, and Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic is assisting the family with the arrangements. Our news was brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.